Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome aboard.
Ahoy.
It is Prime Time. It is Friday. No Rop today. He is out on assignment somewhere probably near a golf course, I believe, if he's not putting out fires left over from 10 Barrel last night.
He had a whole thing. Maybe he's attempting to buy Mount Bachelor. The bottom line is that guy doesn't work on Fridays. He's on the Summer of Swag program, so
yeah,
it's good. It's good to be Isaac Rop.
The Summer of Rop when it's not even supposed to be.
I think he's in a member guest. I think that's what he's doing. I think he's out at Black Butte or something.
Better pull his weight.
Yeah, Rop's a stick. Like Rop likes to.
That's
do,
what I've heard.
Yeah, he likes to do the. You know,
I didn't
whatever.
Play great. I'm not playing very good. I'm not very good.
I think he's like a three. It's like
that's
a three
I've
or
heard.
A four.
Yeah,
it's like his. It's like his only exercise that he gets. He goes out there and plays some old man golf, which is good. It's the one sport you can keep playing deep into your. I don't know. I guess deep into your life. What else can you do? Unless you want to be one of those weird old dudes like running races. See that way they have like the geriatric games, like some 85-year-old man. He's like hobbling across the line.
Have you watched those ones where the 80-year-old division does like the 100-meter dash?
Yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
It is. It looks more like race walking than
yeah.
it does.
Well, I mean, you're not really running, but again, when you're that age, it's like, is anyone going to tell you that you're not, you know, that you're not out there getting it done? I mean, you just look at aging in general. The fact that you're not dead at the age of 85, let alone you're racing and running, you know, good for you.
Yeah, now the people, I mean, we know that people who stay active live longer. That's the way it works, which is funny because, I don't know, I saw it come up on the Vancouver 4 text line yesterday when we were talking about all of Rop's trips to the bathroom. And and one person on the Vancouver 4 text line suggested that part of the reason that he has to go so much has less to do with how much water he's drinking, but more the fact that he never sweats because he never exerts himself doing anything.
The best part about Rop, too, is that he, like, anything that involves exertion, not only is does he refuse to do it, but he makes fun of those people that do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it can be really simple.
Yeah.
You walked around your neighborhood without a dog?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. The idea of working out to Rop, like, he always does these weird... They're not even backhanded compliments. He just thinks that like working out every day is stupid.
There's an ultimate like, what's the point?
Yes.
To him.
Yes.
It is.
And then
I used to be a runner, right?
Yeah. And then he'll be like, oh, look at you, high T bro. And I'm like, dude, going to the gym doesn't make you a high T bro. Just makes you someone that doesn't want to be an old fat ass. And he's like, whatever. And then he goes and plays golf. Like he is just anything that is remotely masculine. Is just like it's an affront to Rop. He just and he's not like you'd think like you always hear like the soy, but he's not like Rop is not like that. But if it is masculine, Rop finds it ridiculous.
But it's not just masculine because it could be. It could be something that doesn't seem super masculine that he doesn't understand the point of. Like, I mean, it could be rhythmic gymnastics. Yeah. He could be like, why would you do that?
He's a strange man. He's a strange, complex man, but we love him.
He's not complex. He's just old. He doesn't like things that he doesn't understand, and he's old enough now that he doesn't have to pretend like he likes them. Like, I'm young. I have to pretend like that I can see why certain things, there could be merit to them. There's no merit to rhythmic gymnastics, but I'm not old like Rop, so I can't just dump on it.
Rop has embraced, and it's like, I understand that I'm old as well. And I don't necessarily, I don't fight being old. Like, I'm not going to dye my beard. I'm not getting a toupee. I'm not trying to.
That looks sweet, though.
Yeah.
You should.
Get an Agassi one like Andre had.
You know.
You should get a real bad one.
Well, someone asked me the other day, because, like, I'm getting whiter and whiter. Like, there's.
You and me both.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So every now and then someone will be like, oh, my God, and I love how they just announce it. Like, someone will just be sitting there looking at you and be like, you are really getting gray. You're like, thanks, man.
If I walked up to you and said, hey, you're really getting fat. I mean, like, what?
That's usually my response to you. I'm like, hey, dude, those man boobs are looking really good. Those things are sweet. Great. Congratulations. And they're like, oh. Like, it's the same thing, dude. But they'll ask me, like, are you going to dye? I said, I would rather dye than dye my beard. That ain't happening. But at the same time, and I'm not going to go out and try to, like, find out what the young kids are, like, listening. Like, me and Will are never going to a concert together and being like, yeah, bro.
I don't know. You can both probably rock at the Foo.
I'm not trying to go to some, like, hip band that, like, my son listens to. If my son's going to a show at the Roseland and it's a band that I've never heard of, I don't belong at that show. I just know.
Okay.
What band?
Oh, God. He listens to stuff that I've never even heard of. He's like, hey, Dad, can you get me tickets to something? I'm like, yeah, what is it? And then he'll throw out, and I'm like, I have no idea what that is. And he'll just be like, yeah, you wouldn't like it.
Is he going to Suicide Boys? What's going on here?
They're like the most ridiculous names. I'm like, hey, man, have fun. I don't belong. In fact, once I got put on a list, and so I had to go instead of getting physical tickets, they were like, hey, we'll throw you on the list plus two. So I had to go to the Roseland and then, like, use my ID, and then they stamped our wrists. And I'm trying to remember the name of this band it's something that you would be like, yeah, I don't belong here. It's like Pink something or other. This is like my old man moment. I can't remember what it was.
I don't have the hip bands in my back pocket either. So,
but
I walk
into the Rose, and so I meet my son and his friend. And so I'm like, hey, you got to come in with me. And so we're walking in here, and I'm looking around, and I've never felt more out of place in my life, because I was coming from work. I think I was wearing like a button up shirt and some slacks or something, and just looking around the crowd, immediately every one of those kids was like, who's the narc?
And you're like, not, oh, I'm so like a sore thumb on the scene.
I could not have been more out of place. So I went up to the lady and I said, hey, here's my name. She goes to stand my wrist. I was like, no. I'm like, this is for these two. And she looked at me and she even goes, yeah, I didn't seem like this was your crowd.
So heads up.
Like, I will never do that. But at the same time, I refuse to go out like a feeble old man. That ain't happening too. And that's the thing, is like, Rob gives me crap. He's like, why do you fight? Because I don't want to die. I don't want to be the guy that's shopping at Costco. I just don't. If that's your deal and you want to quit and you want to buy all your clothes at Costco and you want to be an old curmudgeon, be my guest. That ain't happening. Like, there's just certain things I'm just not willing to do. And maybe someday it will, but I will fight getting old in that aspect. I will not become a feeble old man. But at the same time, I'm not dyeing my beard, I'm not getting a toupee, and I'm not going to hip young bands. There's a balance that you strike there.
I bought a pair of pants at Costco yesterday.
Of course you did.
They were Banana Republic.
That's how it starts.
If you saw Banana Republic in a mall, you would shop there. But instead, their chinos came to me on a pallet, and they were $16.99.
After the show yesterday at 10 Barrel, these two bros came up to me, and they were like, oh man, we love your show. And I just looked at them, and they were wearing the same polo, the exact same one. And I was like, dude, that's cute. I'm like, did you guys plan that? And they're like, I know. And then they both looked at me and go, you know where we bought them? And I said, don't tell me Costco. And they're like, Costco. I was like, Greg Norman? They're like, yeah. And I was like, you guys feel ashamed? They're like, yeah. And I said, see, that shame you feel right there, that should be worth more than the $9 you saved by buying that shirt at Costco.
Well, speaking of the matchy-matchy, Suk was so embarrassed by me and Ortner I walked in today first. Ortner's here before either of the two of us. I walk into the studio, and Ortner is wearing a black, well, it's a polo shirt,
yeah,
but a black short sleeve shirt.
Plain black.
I am wearing a plain black short sleeve shirt. And who rolls in at right about 2 o'clock, turns the corner, and goes, oh, S, no, I'm not doing this. Sook, wearing a plain black shirt. We continued to converse for some 20 or 30 minutes before he disappeared. And when he came back, no longer wearing the black shirt, he's embarrassed to look too cool like me and Will.
Classic Will Ortner trend setting, you two following along. I see your white shoes over there trying to copy my white shoes.
No, immediately, I did. I went out to my car because I wasn't certain when I left the house this morning. I was a little... it was a little rainy, so I had I brought a long sleeve shirt just in case. And the moment I saw you two chuckle butts wearing,
I look good, whatever, man.
We look great t-shirt today. I we think do we all look looked
good.
Great
we
today.
We look good. Not him.
He did.
He's too
he
soft
did
to look
put on
good.
This thermal hoodie thing.
He's too soft to look good. He's got to go off on his own thing. Yeah. Got to be
the way,
special
it's,
by himself.
It's too warm right now in this studio to be wearing this long.
Uh-huh. You're sweating right
the
now.
The black tee's coming.
I don't care. It ain't happening.
That's right.
Look, it's one thing if we're going two samesies, but we're not. We're not going try. We're not going the menage a trois samesies.
Yeah,
we're not. We're not.
Oh, yeah, we are.
No.
You were the one in here last. I think it's your fault you match us.
It's not happening. Yeah, because every now and then me and Rob will pull that off. We show up. I'm like, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
Yeah, and it's actually, it's probably once or twice a month. I mean, at least, especially when everything is shot from like the torso up. Like, you guys will wear the same color shirt and sometimes hats at the same time.
Yeah, I know. It's a little like, damn it. Yeah, we got these. We went to the Maurice Lucas Foundation Golf Tournament, and we both wore them on the same day once. It was like,
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, well.
Because then you can't really even change then unless you got something else in your bag.
No. No, then you're just kind of, you're stuck. I took mine off. I was like, yeah, I'm going to take mine off. I'll be bald. And then like, it's like the BTJ, she always wants to go samesies with me. Like I'll buy a pair of shoes. She's like, oh my gosh, buy me a pair of those. I'm like, no. She's like, why? I'm like, cause we're not wearing the same shoes. She wants to be that couple. She wants to be samesies like couple.
Oh.
And I'm just like, yeah, no.
So you know who I know that does that?
Under no circumstances.
Bad.
My brother with his 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
For her birthday every year, they get her a new pair of Air Force Ones, and my brother gets ones to match.
Yeah. Well, at least then.
That's a
little cute. It's like
you don't
want to
do it with your significant other.
No. Like, I'll go, you know, when my kids were little, yeah, like, we used to have, like, is my son, you know, Iserman. Like, we had, like, Iserman jerseys.
Oh,
and
sure.
I remember, wearing those.
That'd be cool, yeah.
You know, we had that, or, you know, that's one thing. But, dude, if your gal out there is like, let's dress alike, no. And she gets so pissed at me. And I don't care. It ain't happening. She's like, well, you said it'd be okay if we wore the same shoes. I was like, no, I didn't. That never came out of my mouth. Yeah, she's always trying to do that. It's like, what is this need to match? There's just again, some lines that you shouldn't cross. One, buying your pants at Costco. Two, don't go samesies with your missus.
I still disagree with the first one. If it's the right brand, you go for it. If it's Glacier whatever and it's $7, but Banana Republic, I bet you've shopped at a Banana Republic before for a t-shirt or a pair of pants.
I'll say it right now. Again, because my Costco stance is very controversial, and Costco bro gets very mad at me, right? He gets pissed. Here's my thing. If you found a pair of pants at Costco that you like, fine, whatever. But that's my point, is that's how it starts. Like, we all know the old guy. It's probably your dad. When you look at your dad and you think to yourself, how the hell did he get like that? Because you see photos of your dad when he was younger, right?
Yeah.
And he seems fairly put together,
sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And then you look at him, you're like, how does that happen? You know how it happens? Costco, at some point in your 40s, when you're not paying attention, you're like, hey, look at this. They start you with Banana Republic, Buck, and then next thing you know, you're buying Glacier Bay, and then you're buying Hang Ten, and before you know it, you're wearing Spalding shoes. Before you know it, you're like, well, these Spalding sneakers.
Spalding makes shoes?
Oh, yeah, and they sell them at Costco.
I've been avoiding
that's how it happens.
I've been avoiding the Skechers there for a while.
Exactly.
Ooh, lace-ups.
See? Before you know it, you're in some Skechers.
But you know who was wearing Skechers?
And then you're Tony Romo.
Joe Montana.
Of course. You know how much and here's the thing, if Skechers, I get that one too. If Skechers pays me $1 million, guess what? I'll wear some Skechers. But they're not. You're paying Skechers. Skechers is so bad, they should be paying you to wear their shoes, not the other way around. And that's where it starts. They get you with some decent Banana Republic pants. Next thing you know, Skechers shoes, right? Now you're wearing some weird off-brand slack, probably Hang 10 or 32 degrees. And then next thing you know, quarter zip, and guess what? You're your dad.
I will say, I got some of the 32 degrees boxer briefs. Not a fan. Those weren't good. Almost everything at Costco is good. And by the way,
right here, I'm 38, and I just entered my Costco phase. Exactly. Fight it.
This person says,
there's still time.
Sook, same polo bro here. Buckley, I got those gray Banana Republic pants for work, but wearing a real polo today.
Thank God. Just fight it. It's okay. It's okay to draw a line and be like, not today. You know, what is that? The Game of Thrones, right? What do we say? Not today. Not today, Death.
Not to the day to the Lord of Death,
yes,
is the equivalent of going,
yes,
and buying shirts at Costco?
It is, because that's how it kills your soul. That's how you die a little bit inside every single time. And tell, Will, you're a teacher. You're telling me you don't see that dad that comes into the parent-teacher conference with just dead eyes, doll eyes, just shark black eyes rolled back into his head, and guess what he's wearing? He's wearing Costco clothing and a quarter zip and white socks and bad Skechers sneakers, and his wife has his balls are in his wife's purse, and he's just trudging through another day.
This is really making a progression that I'm not so. We're going down a road now.
That's how
no
it happens.
Comment on if I've seen that at the schools.
He sees all
the time.
I
plead the fifth. No comment.
And I'm trying to do a public service out there to say it's okay. It's okay to tell the agent of death. To tell the Lord of Light, I'm with you. Not today, Death. Maybe someday down the road, Skechers will get me. Maybe someday the Costco quarter zip will get me, but not today.
Coming up in the club later, I have reviews of over 145,000 Costco shoppers. I have the favorite Costco snacks. So we will.
Well, that's different.
We will make a divergence to,
yes,
that later.
Costco makes
but
a
right
great
now,
spicy bar.
But
mix.
Right now, Vancouver Ford text line. Just got in the car. I'm wearing those Banana Republic pants from Costco. I'm only 30. And then we have Skechers Defender coming out. Skechers are great for doing yard work
bad.
And stuff.
Don't.
Then the $20 Skechers at Costco are great for gardening shoes. Yeah,
No.
I normally push back against Sook's clothing takes, but I'm not going to push back on that one.
It's brand dependent. If you found a Nike polo or a Banana Republic pant, you buy it.
No, yes, that's how they
True
get
Classic
you.
True Classic does great job.
They lure you in. It's like a Venus flytrap or one of those angler fish deep down in the sea. You think you're like, oh, this is just a great deal. I would never buy the other. And then next thing you know, from Nike to Skechers.
They probably sell the exact thing that you're wearing right now. Like a thermal hooded, generic gray black. And you know what?
This is Volcom.
It would look very similar.
Well, I wouldn't buy it.
It might have a Hang Ten logo on it.
Not happening. Not doing it. We're getting right now. Quarter zip Costco on me right now.
These are all fine individuals, Jason. They love their lives. They're happy.
Yeah, until you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror walking into that parent-teacher conference.
Do you want to do a poll question today, Jason?
Yeah, let's poll.
All right. We will dive into some college football stuff today as it is week zero. It's the last day last day of no college football before we pretty much have it all the time until January. That's wonderful. Going to talk about one former coach's comments and how that could spell trouble for Oregon, why Tez Johnson is acting like a kid on Christmas, and some questions just about the season in general ahead. Also, on the NFL front, most teams focused on X's and O's, but one team struggling with their ABCs, and always read the fine print. We have a new Hall of Fame bylaw and the impact that could have. Of course, we will also talk Costco, not clothing, but snacks in the club. But coming up next, the changing landscape of college football. What are you expecting this season? That's next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time, 1080 The Fan. We'll curb the Costco talk for the time being.
As a lot of Costco bros chiming in,
though. We got a lot of support. I think.
Both ways.
Yeah. I think there's more Costco support than none.
Of course there is. It's how they get you, poor bastards.
It's elitist.
Yeah. Nothing elitist about not buying my clothes at Costco. You want to buy some outdoor lighting and get a hot dog and a great deal on some ribs? All about it. They have a great spicy bar mix. Phenomenal.
Ooh, I love a spicy
liquor,
bar mix.
Liquor, great price at Costco. Your clothing? No.
Liquor, they don't have at Costco in Oregon.
Oh,
but
no?
Up at yours, they do.
Yeah, Washington,
but we
do.
Have to do the whole liquor store thing.
Yeah,
the LLCC.
Store, yeah. Hey, go to Hawthorne Liquor, by the way. That's where you should buy your liquor.
Okay. Fair enough.
Just saying.
Or the Vancouver Costco. So let's move into some college football talk because we do officially get the start of it tomorrow. It won't be on American soil at first. It'll be over in Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah, they were doing the river dance, I saw.
I saw a TikTok of the Seminoles players kicking their legs about like Michael Flatley.
I did a little river dancing when I was over there. I was drunk off my ass. But yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do? You go over to Ireland, you do the Guinness Tour, and you do a little river dance.
When in Rome.
Yeah.
But today's poll question is, with all that's changed in college football since last season, what's your sentiment heading into the new season? Your choices are still fired up, let's go, it'll probably be fine, my interest is waning, or I am over this sport. Now, I feel like knowing our audience, most people are here for the football season, but as you noted when you and I were talking earlier today, it is already looking much, much different than the football landscape we saw last season. And with all the rhetoric that's happened over the offseason, it seems like there's quite a bit of malcontent going into this season, too. It may look different, it may feel different, but ultimately, what are your expectations for it?
Well, I'm trying to stay positive, and I think ultimately it's going to be good. I do think we're going to get good matchups, although, you know, I was looking through some schedules earlier because maybe I was getting ready to play some wagers, and you know, it's like we were sold this bill of goods that with this new system that we get all these great matchups. And like, especially looking at like Oregon and Ohio State, their schedules are jokes right up until they both play each other. I mean, early on, especially Ohio State, I mean, they play no one. So I don't know if, at least yet, I mean, it's the first year of it, so let's wait and see. But I mean, I don't see any of these great non-conference matchups. I mean, you get a couple, but we've always had those.
Yeah, they're sprinkled throughout. I think Alabama goes to Wisconsin, and there's some other ones like that.
When I still look through a lot of the powerhouse schedules, don't play anyone. I mean, look, outside of if you're an Oregon Duck fan, no offense, but outside of the Ohio State and Michigan game, I get Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's okay. Let's not act like Wisconsin is like this, some sort of national power this year.
It's one of maybe four games on your schedule that you think you could lose. Maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's just not. So it's like, and I'd say the same thing about Ohio State. So, you know, that's going to be weird. You can still protect yourself by not scheduling anyone, which teams are going to do. So I don't think that's gone over the top with all these great schedules that we're going to see. It's going to be strange to see the first time a team loses two games and the season isn't over.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, you can make a real strong argument. And again, we'll play it here close to the vest here at Oregon. Oregon plays four, like you said, four games that you could look at and seemingly think that there's something weird could happen.
I mean, here's their schedule straight down really quick. It's Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State. That should be win-win-win. UCLA, that should be a win.
Dude, you're going to be favored by 20-plus points in every one of those games. I'm not kidding. You're going to be, I mean, maybe even more.
Then you get Michigan State at home. Then you get that Ohio State matchup.
So there's one.
But then you're at Purdue, who people think is going to be awful.
Stomp a mud hole.
Home against Illinois.
No.
At Michigan. Maybe an issue. There's two. home against Maryland.
No.
At Wisconsin, maybe a hiccup because it's late in the season on the road.
Yeah.
And then you're home against UW. Well, they've beat you, but they've had all the turnovers.
Well, and listen to, have you listened to like Jed Fish? Even Jed Fish is telling people, hey, like, please, let's have some realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Like, there's three games. If you want to throw UW, four, right? And here's the weird part about Oregon is with their preseason ranking, as long as they are not drubbed in those games, you could concede. And by the way, this isn't like you could. If you lose to Ohio State and you lose to Michigan and they're within one score, let's say you lose by a touchdown to both of those teams, you're in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And that's going to be strange.
Because it will be a team who really only lost their two marquee games.
Marquee games. But it won't matter. At 10-2 from the Big Ten,
you'll still have the wins and the roster to compete.
Yeah. You'll be in the college football playoff. So it's the regular season is going to be strange. And then on top of it, you throw in like the things like the QL codes, and you know, it's going to have a different feel when you see, because you're now going to see, you know, some of these kids rolling up to games. You're going to see the kids rolling up to games in Mercedes and in Lamborghinis.
Dude, out at Texas, they line the like walkway to the facility with all the receivers Lamborghinis. That's like the thing.
And they're going to do the fashion walk. These kids are going to be decked out and they're going to be carrying the Louis luggage and all this. It's going to have a different feel to it. It's going to be strange, but I'm hoping, for me, at the end of the day, it's still college football. I'm going to love the product. Hopefully I put all that stuff aside and we get great games. Maybe it takes until the playoffs for it to sink in that this is a really good thing. I wonder if maybe we're going to get like a dip here where we're going to start off. It's like, hey, college football's here. And then it's like, a little bit of a dip. And then like we get kind of to the end of the year and we're like, holy crap, like playoffs are coming. And then we get to the playoff and then it just kind of shoots up, because by the time we get to the playoff, this should be the best college football season we've ever had, because we actually get a 12-team tournament,
mm-hmm.
and it's no longer just a cheesy 1-2 or two teams are now four teams in. 12, we're actually going to get a big tournament. So I don't know if the regular season's going to have the same sort of juice. I do think there's going to be some lulls, but the end of the year should end on a ridiculous high note, and I'm just trying to put some of that other silliness to the side.
Yeah.
But also this year, you're going to have to listen to nonstop expansion talk. I mean, we already had another bit of news today with
UConn.
You know, UConn possibly to the Big 12. We're going to constantly have to hear about maybe a lawsuit with Oregon and Washington State, and is ESPN going to invite them to the Big 12 or the ACC? We're going to have to hear about the Florida State Clemson lawsuit. Like, that stuff's not going to stop.
No, it doesn't go away.
And then the house settlement stuff, which still hasn't been figured out. You know, so there's just going to be a lot of background noise, and combined with the regular season not meaning as much, I do think there's a chance that this regular season feels kind of wonky, and maybe some people will be a little checked out until the end of the year when, like I said, we're going to punch it into high gear, and it's going to end on a kick-ass high note.
I do think that the beauty of college sports is there's a little bit of a like naiveness or naivete,
yeah,
that my team could get there. My team could do it. Like, if we have a hot year and our quarterback comes in and he plays well, we can be in the conversation. And now with the 12-team playoff, you can be in the conversation for longer. Like a team like Ole Miss that has a weaker schedule, if they're able to beat Alabama or Georgia, now that's a big ask, right? They mm-hmm. haven't proven that they can do it. But if they're able to win one of those games, shoot, even if those are their only two losses and they're close, they're going to be in the conversation for making the playoffs. So it might dip a little bit in September because the non-conference schedule is still going to be weak for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, those games in October that might not have meant as much, they're going to mean a little bit more. And I also think that the fact that you're going to get teams in with two losses are going to keep some casual fan bases around for longer, yeah, because it's, hey, we can get into the playoffs, and then it's chip in a chair, right?
Yeah.
As long as we're that 12th team in, we have a shot. And so they're going to keep paying attention and paying attention.
And someone was asking, like, what about three losses? I went back and I did this 2 months ago. Three losses should eliminate you.
Yeah,
I look back every year at basically the top 12 teams, and by the time you get to 8 to 12, they're all two loss teams. There just is. There's never, you know, there's never that many one loss teams, but there's usually a bunch of good two loss teams. Usually the three loss teams start to creep in around 14, 15, and then you throw in a group of five teams. So I'm not going to say it's impossible,
yeah,
under the right circumstances for a three loss team to get in, but unless you are like a preseason top three, and those three losses are to other marquee schools by the thinnest of margin. Three losses, minus you winning your conference, which you won't do at three losses, that essentially eliminates you. You have two mulligans now. Three basically eliminates you from the conversation.
Yeah, the table's basically set. I mean, I'm looking at last year's final AP rankings in the top 12, and obviously this includes bowl games as well. Yeah. But your top 10 teams all still have two losses even after bowl season. Yeah, so like, and then it's followed by LSU, Penn State, Arizona, Notre Dame, who were all 10-3. Oklahoma 10-3. Yeah. Some of them lost bowl games too. Basically, you are ultimately like very fringe, need things to break in your favor.
And remember, a group of five team is automatically going to get in, so that eliminates a spot, even if they're not a top 12 team. So it just three losses, you're out. Just keep that in your mind. Two losses, you have a very good chance. If you're a high-ranking preseason team, two losses almost guarantees you a spot in. If you're a team that starts out, and this is where preseason rankings matter. If you're Washington and you start outside the top 25 versus Oregon, two losses for those teams will get viewed entirely differently. Yeah. They just will. Yep. So to say the preseason doesn't matter is horse neers. It absolutely matters when you're talking about the two-loss thing.
Yep. Well, there is one big Goliath in Oregon's path, and we got a piece of information or a quote from a former coach that maybe should give Oregon fans some cause for concern. Sook shared it with me earlier. I'll share it with you next here on Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime, an SOB edition. Rop is out in the Mount Bachelor area, possibly buying a ski resort. We're not exactly sure. Might involve golf.
Yeah, his $75 million bid. We had inside sources that said good luck. Said a couple hundred mil.
You know, I almost made what kind of fire was Rop putting out our poll question today. I have many questions about that. But
he did have a bit of a crisis, I will say yesterday. The one
piece of information he did give over the air was that, no, it's not Molly Tenge's, but it might cost me just as much. So whatever it was, it sounded expensive.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was a home matter. How about that?
It was treated with that kind of urgency because most things can wait, until you're off the clock, until you're off the show or whatever. But that had all the looks of like a pipe burst or something like that.
Yeah,
so
we were like, all of a sudden he just kept looking down his phone, and then he was like showing me, like he kept pointing at his phone, and I was like, oh, okay. And then he just got up and left. I do remember one time we were at a Civil War, we were doing like a Civil War show,
mm-hmm.
and we were out at a restaurant or something.
Who was the North? Who was the South?
Were you Stonewall Jackson?
The ghost of Stonewall Jackson.
Who got to be General Lee?
and in the middle of I was breaking down like Bill Swancutt or something, right? And like in the middle of it, Rob just turns to me and mouths, "I'm sorry," and takes off his headset and just like gets up and walks off. And I was like,
"What?"
And it just caught me off guard. So I was like, "Okay." So I just, you know, I kept talking and I didn't acknowledge what had happened, right? Because I was in the middle and, you know, I did my little defensive breakdown, talked about Oregon State, and then I threw it to break. And then, you know, so no one was the wiser. I mean, I guess it was a little weird that I threw it to break, but, you know, no offense, but I don't think Rop was like breaking down the Oregon State defense with me, right? it was specifically a Civil War show. And so then he comes back like during the break. And I guess something he had ate just, it was happening. And in the middle of the segment, that's why he mouthed, "I'm sorry." And took off the headset and just marched off.
He was doing a Joe Paterno, to run across the field.
At least he didn't try to gut it out and do it right there next to you.
No,
you know?
Just he pulled a Paterno. And so I was like a little bit yesterday when he same thing. He got up, he took off the headset. But then I saw him head outside and I was like, oh, that's why he was pointing at his phone. He's, you know, he was dealing with some stuff. Not intestinal disorder, but it's one of my all time favorite rot moments. No, the second.
I'm sorry.
just marches off. Hey, man, it happens. It happens to the best of us. Nothing you can do.
Well, let's get back on track here. We'll be derailed plenty in this show today. But Ohio State, obviously the marquee opponent that Oregon will play this year and the first big test that they get. Looking at that schedule that we just broke down last segment.
Yeah, no offense to Boise State or any, you know, again, Oregon State. I mean, I'm not saying those programs are irrelevant, but where Oregon has elevated themselves to, I mean, when you hear, in fact, I was listening to Yogi Roth today. He was on with whoever was filling in for Colin. And he just said he believes that this Oregon team legitimately is one of the two or three best teams. He said they're built different. He said Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, said they are literally built different. And when you're built like that, no offense to those other schools, but those games usually end up going a specific way. And they are going to be three touchdown favorites in every one of those games.
Yep. And the... we've been hearing here in the Northwest and in Portland specifically just how loaded Oregon is all offseason. Yep. And
deepest team and, you know, best Oregon team ever and all those things.
And I know that based on their past recent history and just their recruiting classes and their recent track record that people have thought pretty highly of Ohio State as well. I have thought pretty highly of Ohio State as well. Yep. I don't think I realized just how good they might be until you alerted me to this Urban Meyer quote. Their former head coach I'll read you the quote. He said, "I've read about them, I've watched them, and this roster might be the best in college football in the last decade."
Yeah.
Not the best Buckeyes roster in the last decade, not the best roster in college football this year. The best roster in college football of any team over the last decade, Urban Meyer thinks is possible. He says, as far as NFL talent, as far as depth, this might be the best roster in college football in the last decade.
Yeah. I mean, there is, and I get, you know, it's Urban Meyer, take it for what it's worth.
Of course.
Urban Meyer knows a thing or two and been around the game, and I don't think coaches throw that stuff out there lightly. And I have heard from lots of people that say that this Ohio State team is different. If Will Howard ends up being the guy, and you know, Will Howard, by the way, was an all Big 12 quarterback, but he's not the great he's not the greatest thrower of the ball, but also he's now got Chip Kelly and he's a mobile guy. They're just saying the sky's the limit. I when you hear best college football team, most talented college football team in 10 years, this is every bit the challenge you saw a couple years ago with Georgia. This is not your normal Ohio State team. And that's saying something because Ohio State every year has a really damn good team.
And that's, I guess, the part that's jarring to me is that they're usually loaded. So for someone to say they're more loaded than usual and they're more loaded than maybe any team I've ever seen or been around in the last 10 years, that scares me a little bit. And listen, I'm not like thinking, oh, Oregon's got all the depth, now they'll just roll over these guys. Obviously not, but I'm not sure I realize that Ohio State could be as much of a bully as they maybe have the potential for if everything works out for them under center. And another thing that you brought up today that I think is really astute is that this is definitely their first, they being Oregon, first big measuring stick game as a program since that Georgia game. Everything else has been between Dan Lanning's first game and now have been either games that you were expected to win or games that were expected to be close that you didn't come away with, or you know, the couple of unexpected losses. But it hasn't been, you haven't faced another Titan like this since Georgia. We saw how it went last time. Mm-hmm. And Oregon's had a couple of these chances going back to some of their national championship games and other non-conference, you know, the LSU-Texas Classic game, things like that. This feels like the first time in a while, as you pointed out, to really judge where Oregon is as a program.
Yeah, occasionally when you're trying to get to where Oregon wants to be at, it is, and we hold you to different standards. We just do. Like, you are trying to go from a solid top 15 to 10 program. And Oregon's been that for a long time, you know, and they played for two national championships, right? But you're now trying to be viewed as something different. You're trying to be viewed the way we view Ohio State. You're trying to be viewed the way we view Georgia. We're trying to view the way we do LSU in Alabama. And you're right. When you look back, I mean, they beat Oklahoma a number of, you know, all those years ago in the mystery fumble game. That certainly was a test. I think the Florida State game in the playoff certainly was a test, and you passed that with flying colors. That was the defending national champion. You smacked them around, went into the big house, although Michigan wasn't very good. But then you bring up, like, you know, the kind of the LSU game. You bring up the two national title games that you fell short. But this kind of version between Mario Cristobal and now Dan Lanning, a couple years ago, you played Georgia, then ended up being the national champion team, and you got embarrassed. You absolutely got run off the field. It wasn't close. So here we are a couple years removed from that, right? I mean, basically two full seasons. It's one full, but, you know, the other one was the first game of the of Lanning's first year, and a lot of things have changed since then, right? Georgia hasn't changed. Georgia's viewed as the best team in the country.
Yep.
But now we're being told that Oregon just isn't one of those other also-ran teams. We're being told that Oregon is Georgia. We're being told that Oregon is Ohio State. And now you get that Ohio State team that Urban Meyer says is the best college football team he's seen maybe in 10 years. And is just,
and you probably could have seen the same for Georgia the year that they won it all and kicked Oregon's ass.
Exactly. And so now they're coming to your place. They're both going to be undefeated. We know that this is the biggest regular season game in Oregon history. We know it might be the biggest game in the regular season this year. Certainly the biggest game in Autzen Stadium's history. And to a larger extent, I think it's the ultimate litmus test. Maybe even more so than maybe those two national championship games. Like, because those national title teams, as good as they were, again, that was more of a... And it's funny to say that. And I get why some people may balk at that. But remember, for both of those teams... I'm not going to say they came out of nowhere, but they were surprises.
Well, and they were doing it with different parts than the teams they were facing. Yes. They were still trying to keep up with the Blue Bloods as opposed to being viewed as one of the Blue Bloods.
Yes. This is, I believe, the first time that Oregon has a chance to stand on a national stage and say, you view us this way. We view us this way. We have built something here. We are now equal with you, and now you're coming to our house. I just don't think there's ever been a bigger regular season game for Oregon. This is the ultimate test, especially considering that 2 years ago when you stood on that stage, you got
smacked by 46.
It was bad. It was as bad as you can get. So what can you do in 2 years to a program? You know, for all the talk of Dan Lanning and the future of college football and, in fact, same thing. I heard Yogi Roth today say that he thinks that, you know, if he's betting on a program in the next 10 years, he's taking Oregon. He thinks that he said that Dan Lanning is going to take up a lot of the space that Nick Saban left. He said and it's true, there's a void. Like when you think about the faces of college football, and does Ryan Day take that up? Does Kirby Smart take that up? Who's kind of the next guy? You know, Dabo's fallen off a bit. And he said he believes that's going to be Dan Lanning. I mean,
feels that way. I mean, he has to prove it. He has to do it.
And this is...
But it's setting up.
And this is it. This is collision course stuff. I mean, you don't want to try to make a season out to be one game, but I keep thinking about that. What an absolute... test and on the national stage, and whether it's fair or not, your program going forward is going to be judged off of this one game.
What does that one game have to look like? Plus, why are some Oregon Ducks running around like little kids on Christmas morning? That's coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan. Welcome back to Primetime, an SOB edition. On the heels of discussing the measuring stick game for the Oregon program against Ohio State, did a little digging. You want to take a guess at what the spread for that game is? They have a look-ahead line on that game.
Yeah, I think
FanDuel.
It's like two, right?
One and a half right now is what I'm seeing for Oregon. Yeah. In Oregon's favor, one and a half.
In Oregon's favor. And that's my point. Think about that. You're playing... This is why it's just so weird. You're playing a team that some people are saying could be one of the best in 10 years, and you're favorites.
Let's say for argument's sake.
And the rest of the games, I mean, you're favored by 44 against Idaho. Boise State doesn't have a line. You're favored by 3 touchdowns against Oregon State. You know, Wisconsin, that's at 12. Washington, you're favored by 3 touchdowns. I mean, and they don't have the lines on UCLA, Michigan State, but I would assume that Boise, UCLA, Michigan State, Purdue, Illinois, Maryland – any of those that don't have lines, I'm guessing that at minimum, those are all 3 touchdown games.
They all start with a 2 for sure. You might get a 20 and a half, something like that. Is it 3 touchdowns or not? But
yeah, so you've got Ohio State that you're favored by 2.5. Michigan, you're favored by 3.5. And then the closest thing you've got is a 2 touchdown game at 12-13 with Wisconsin. And that's on the road. So, I mean, it just goes to show you what the expectations are for this year for Oregon.
Vancouver 4 text line in saying it's time to win big games. Until now, they haven't proved they can't. I think they mean can. I-5 will have tons of duck gear on the side of the road if they lose. I'm not sure I'll go as far as that last part, but I do think, now is prove it time, because you, according to all reports and narratives, have now amassed all the talent and tools and resources you need to actually get the job done. Resources that you may not have had before, still trying to keep up with the Joneses like you may have had to before. Now they're saying you're here. So yeah, it's important that this one is the game that gets won. And I guess my final follow-up for you on that, though, is can it still be a successful measuring stick game for Oregon even if they lose?
I suppose. I mean, that's someone else pointed on the Vancouver 4 text line, and this is kind of what I said about the weird part about this season is you can lose to Ohio State and Michigan, and in theory, you're still fine.
I bet you could get blown out by one of them. Like, I mean, I'm not. If you go 10-2 and you lose by 17 to Ohio State and you lose by 3 to Michigan, you're still probably getting in, yeah, right?
And like, so it's I mean, and then I guess once you're in, you know, you see what happens. I mean, I remember after they got bludgeoned by Georgia, that was Bo Nix. It was like, well, if we played him again, it'd be different. And we all kind of rolled our eyes. And maybe you do get a chance. Maybe you do get a chance at him. Maybe this is that weird, unique year where you get an opportunity to avenge that. So can it be successful? Yeah, I think it can be if you lose, but I don't know, man. I just the way this is going, I think if you're landing, and it's so early on, but you got to start winning some of these. I mean, this is year three, and to the people that say that he hasn't won anything yet, I get that, but my God, like it is building towards something. It sure feels like the momentum is really, really.
And you need opportunity to win those games. He hasn't had a ton of them.
Yes, and so here's the opportunity. Is it a must win? No. Can it be a success? Sure. Will it be? I don't know. I think this is one of those games that if you're Oregon, I think you have to win. I don't think you can get upset at home against Ohio State when you're trying to bill yourself as the bully, especially on the national basis and in front of recruits. This is monster.
I think 2 years ago, you're nailing it right on the head, right? Because only four teams get in. And if they lose that game, then they're in a lot of trouble and they actually really need some stuff to go their way. But because you have 12 teams make it into the playoff, if they get obviously it's not going to be a good look, but let's say they lose that game by two scores. It's like 10 points, 11 points, you know, 12 points, somewhere in that range. But then you get back into the Big Ten championship game and you beat them, or you beat Penn State because Penn State was able to knock off Ohio State, or whatever. You get into the playoffs and you have a deep run where you get into the semis or you get into the finals in the college football championship. Would you then call that season not successful just because you lost that one game to Ohio State?
No.
And it didn't look the right way?
Yeah.
So that's why I have a hard time. Like, it could be a measuring stick for that point in the year, but we've seen things happen before in college football. I mean, think about last year. You look at Jaden Delora at Arizona, and that's not even a bowl team. By the end of the year, they make the move to Noah Fifita, and all of a sudden you're talking about them as if it would have been a 12-team playoff year. They're in the conversation. They're in the hunt, right? And I'm not saying that that's where Oregon's going to be at. I think that there's so much more wiggle room now that one game isn't going to define your season. You have to wait until the very end to look at it as a whole. Now, if you lose that game, you lose bad. You play Michigan, you lose to Michigan, you go into the playoff, you play Alabama or Ole Miss in the first round or second round, you lose that, then yes, I would say it's an unsuccessful season.
To me, that's going to be one of the weird things, though, is that so before those games mattered so much because they did define your season. You could even finish out really great. You could show improvement on the back end. But it's going to feel odd if Oregon were to lose their two biggest tests and still go to the playoffs, and you're supposed to be optimistic about that. Like, it's obviously, you could run the table, you could win three or four games in a row and do the thing, and then it's like those games don't matter, but then it's like almost like the whole regular season didn't matter.
It's really odd.
And
we're probably ahead of ourselves, but I mean it's preseason stuff, so I mean these are the conversations you have, and you think back to a couple years ago, dude, you went into Ohio State and you did beat them.
That's right.
Now that Ohio State turned out not to be a great team, but neither did you. I mean,
right,
you kind of S'd the bed at the end of that year, and it's kind of funny, but like, you kind of wasted that. Like, that at the time, we had that conversation. Is that the biggest regular season win that this program has ever had? And I think you can make a strong case that it was, and you absolutely wasted it because you got to the end of the year and Mario and that team absolutely crapped the bed. So, I guess I just view it slightly different because even that team, like, that was an underdog. I mean, think about that. You are favored against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Your favorite.
For now.
And if they're the most talented team in the country, the last time that you squared off against the most talented...
You got drilled.
It was... You got beat by 46. Are you saying you've closed the gap
so
from the most talented team by 45 points or 47 points? That's something.
And so maybe it's revisionist history, but I do view this game differently than the one that they had a couple years ago when they went into Ohio State and won. And also, it's going to be weird now because every year you get to play Ohio State. For the most... I mean, obviously that's, you know, schedules can rotate, but... it's weird having a Georgia on your schedule every year. Like, you now, in the past, no offense to any of the Pac-12 teams, but over the last 20 years,
Every once in a while, it would be USC.
Once
maybe.
In a blue moon?
Like, I mean, and that was a decade ago.
You know, and Washington's had good years, and, you know, there's a handful. You know, Stanford had some good years, but there just wasn't that consistent game. And it feels like every year now, you're going to get one of those. You would think that between Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, and maybe USC or Washington, if Jed Fish rises them back up, you almost feel like now you're going to get this game every year. And again, that kind of goes along with the ascension of the program. Like, you want to be viewed differently. And you say what you will about the SEC schedule, say what you will about the Big Ten. The Alabamas and the Georgias and the LSUs and the Ohio States of the world, they get these games on a yearly basis. And Oregon hasn't. Oregon hasn't had them. And you are going to start getting them on a yearly basis. And this is your first crack. And I'm fascinated to see how this thing goes. And it's also crazy that you're favored in it.
I know.
That's just, it's
a weird new reality for a Duck fan who has always been the underdog, even when they had the flashy, shiny things. It's a new world. I'm excited to see how it all plays out. And I'm still so fired up for the 12-team playoff, mostly because even if you could pick the teams that you thought were going to be in it, I don't think anyone's going to have any idea who's going to be available, who's going to be healthy, and how that's all going to go down.
No,
it's going to be great.
You know, this is going to become a little bit like the NFL. It's a war of attrition.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, who's healthy, who's playing the best ball, and that's the cool part about it, is you can sustain some losses, you can sustain some injuries, and going back to the Pac-12, it would have been nice to see some of those Stanford teams from years ago get a crack. Because at the end, Stanford always stubbed their toe against some team that they had no business losing to, Arizona State or Northwestern, or, you know, they would just, they'd have that what the hell game. But at the end of the year, some of those teams with, you know, Toby Gerhardt and Christian McCaffrey.
And just those lines, they could lean on you.
Bryce Love and that defense that they had, and Shane Scove and some of the great players they rolled through there. Kevin Hogan, Andrew Luck, really good quarterback play. At the end of the year, that was the team that people didn't necessarily want to play. And it's going to be cool because those teams are now going to get a crack at this thing. You're going to get a chance to prove. The USC, the year that they Penn State in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
That was the Sam Darnold.
Yeah, they finished strong. If that had been a playoff year, maybe a different story.
Maybe a different story. So, you know, that's going to be the best part about the college football season is that.
Well, it will mirror the NFL playoffs a little bit more, and I want to shift to the NFL next because the preseason is wrapping up. We have more games tonight. We had games last night. But while all teams are practicing their X's and O's, one team needs to work on their ABCs. We'll explain the acronym blunder coming up next on Primetime 1080 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.